Hello and welcome. Today we're diving into a question I hear all the time. What's the real role of AI in personalized medicine? And what actually works in practice? After a year reviewing US pilots, randomized controlled trials, and FDA clearances, one pattern dominated both outcomes and ROI. Start with medication personalization, then scale through privacy-first learning. Most programs miss this sequence. If you get it right, you can show measurable impact in 90 days. Let's start with the piece that almost everyone gets backwards. The fastest, most reliable win isn't fancy imaging or broad diagnostics. It's AI-powered pharmacogenomics at the point of prescribing. Almost all of us carry genetic variants that change how we process medications. And thanks to the Clinical Pharmacogenomics Implementation Consortium, CPIC, we already have evidence-based guidelines for more than 24 genes and over 200 medications. These aren't experimental. They're clinically validated and ready to use. Why does this matter so much? Adverse drug reactions kill about 100,000 people in the U.S. every year. For many drugs, genetics explain 20 to 95% of how a person responds. That's more predictive than age, weight, or medical history for those medications. So if you want to prevent harm, reduce cost, and build trust with clinicians, you start where the action is. When a prescription is written, this is where AI shines. Think of it as a co-pilot that transforms genotype data, a patient's meds, and their conditions into precise guidance in real time. Not just a red flag, but an intelligent recommendation. The risk reduction you can expect, the best alternative medication, dosing suggestions, even what's most likely to be covered by the patient's insurance. You prescribe clopidogrel for a patient with a CYP2C19 loss of function variant? The AI doesn't just warn you. It helps you choose a better option and shows the expected benefit. That level of specificity changes behavior. There are high-impact use cases right out of the gate. CYP2C19-guided antiplatelet therapy, SLCO1B1-guided statins, DPYD-guided fluoropyrimidines. The GIST randomized trial showed that genotype-guided warfarin dosing reduced adverse events by 27% in older adults after surgery. And the economics are compelling. Kaiser Permanente reported more than $4 in return for every dollar invested in pharmacogenomics, driven largely by fewer hospitalizations and fewer emergency visits. What makes this approach so powerful is its compounding value. You typically run a genetic test once, often for life. And the AI keeps leveraging that same data for every future prescription. Each time a new medication is considered, your system gets smarter, safer, and more cost-effective. It's precision medicine that actually shows up in a clinician's workflow at the exact moment it matters. If you want a simple playbook, use the 3-2-1 rule for pharmacogenomics. First, start small to prove big. Choose 2 or 3 high-impact gene-drug pairs with CPIC level A or B evidence. Statins. Clopidogrel and warfarin are common, high-volume options. Second, integrate guidance directly into the EHR using FHIR Genomics and an AI triage layer that ranks risk so clinicians see what's critical without alert fatigue. Third, measure what matters. Track emergency visits, dose changes, and medication adherence with automated dashboards. That's your ammunition to expand. Here's a quick test you can try in one clinic. Implement a simple, non-intrusive alert for a single gene drug pair and watch what happens in 30 days. You'll know how often the alert fires, how clinicians respond, and you'll start to see early outcome signals. It's a small step that builds credibility fast. Once you've established medication personalization, the next question is scale. How do you take this across multiple hospitals and patient populations without getting tangled in data sharing nightmares? The breakthrough is federated learning, training models where the data lives, instead of centralizing everything in a big data lake. Federated learning isn't just about privacy. It's about performance. Models trained across diverse sites learn patterns you can't capture at a single institution. Healthcare looks very different in a rural community hospital than in an urban academic center. If you train a sepsis model only in an ICU, it may miss the early signs that appear first in the emergency department or on a medical floor. A federated model sees the whole picture: ED presentations, floor deterioration, ICU progression. That diversity leads to better generalization and safer decisions. We've seen this pay off in the real world. The Exam Consortium used a federated approach for COVID-19 chest X-ray analysis across 20 hospitals on 5 continents. Their federated model improved external validation performance by 16% compared to single-site models. Just as important, they moved from concept to a deployed model in under 6 months, far faster than the years it usually takes to negotiate data sharing and integrate disparate systems. And if you care about risk, consider this. Healthcare data breaches average roughly $11 million per incident. Keeping data in place dramatically reduces breach risk while enabling collaboration that was previously impossible. Where does federated learning make the most sense? Risk prediction, like sepsis or readmissions, radiology triage, and multi-omics models that benefit from diversity. The sweet spot is conditions common enough that each site has cases, but complex enough to need varied data to capture different practice patterns and demographics. Technically, frameworks like NVIDIA Flare and TensorFlow Federated have matured a lot. The hard part isn't the code, it's coordination. You need alignment on data standards, model objectives, and governance. Think diplomacy, not just engineering. Decide upfront how you'll evaluate fairness and generalization. Who can see what? How do you handle updates and rollback if performance drifts? Treat governance as a product, not an afterthought. If you're wondering how to start without boiling the ocean, begin with a narrowly defined clinical question, a handful of motivated sites, and a lightweight common data format. Choose one prediction target, one model architecture, and a clear primary outcome. Agree on audit logs and a shared playbook for validating the model locally before any clinical use. Keep the first cycle simple, then iterate. Let me pull this together into a 90-day plan you can actually run. In the first 3 weeks, pick your initial gene-drug pairs using CPIC Level A or B guidelines and line up a genotyping approach. Build a basic EHR integration with a risk-ranked alert. By the end of week 4, go live in one high-volume clinic and start collecting metrics on alert frequency, clinician overrides. And early outcome signals like fewer dose changes and fewer ED visits. While that's running, bring together 2 or 3 partner sites to scope a federated pilot around one prediction task, say early sepsis risk or readmission risk, with a simple, agreed-upon dataset structure. Weeks 6 to 10, run the first federated training rounds, test local performance at each site, and document generalization across settings. In weeks 9 to 12, share results with clinicians and leadership. Highlight clinical impact and privacy wins, and define the next increment. Add one more gene drug pair, and add 1 or 2 new sites to the federated network. That sequencing matters. Pharmacogenomics at the point of prescribing delivers immediate, visible wins. Clinicians see better decisions right in their workflow. Patients benefit right away. Administrators see reduced utilization and cost. And because the genotype is stable over a lifetime, the returns compound with every new prescription. That credibility makes it far easier to get buy-in for the federated step, where you expand personalization across populations without moving data. The bottom line is this: AI's role in personalized medicine is not to drown you in dashboards or futuristic demos. It's to make the next prescription safer and smarter, and to learn responsibly from many places at once without sacrificing privacy. Lead with AI-powered pharmacogenomics, then scale with federated learning. Start small, integrate deeply, measure outcomes that matter, and let the results pull you forward. If you put this into motion, you'll feel the difference quickly. Fewer adverse events, clearer decisions at the point of care, and models that actually hold up when you cross the parking lot to a different hospital. That's how AI stops being a buzzword and becomes a compounding asset in personalized medicine. Thanks for listening. And if you try the One Pair Alert in a high-volume clinic, I'd love to hear what you learn in those first 30 days.